Hello, I'm Mike Horris with your WCMU Morning News Roundup for Tuesday, June 30th. Governor Gretchen Whitmer and the legislature's Republican leaders say they have reached a deal to bridge a $2.2 billion budget deficit in the current fiscal year. The revenue loss is due to the economic impact of the coronavirus crisis. The agreement includes saving money with a freeze on new hires and promotions. There will also be cuts to K-12 schools and higher education, but those would be largely offset by federal relief dollars, and there is a bipartisan hope for a new round of assistance from the federal government that would help with the deficit in the new budget year that begins on October 1st. Governor Gretchen Whitmer's administration has rolled out more police reform plans. As we hear from Rick Pluta, the plans include a ban on chokeholds and requiring other officers to intervene when they see misconduct.
Lieutenant Governor Garland Gilchrist is leading the administration's police reform efforts. He says in many places, police departments have lost the trust of communities they're supposed to protect.
They haven't felt like law enforcement was always on the same team. And I think what we're trying to do is enable people to experience that.
The plans also include classifying false, racially motivated emergency calls as hate crimes. Gilchrist says the administration also would like to come up with incentives for police officers to live in the communities where they work. A state law says local governments cannot require employees to live within their borders, and it cannot be a subject of collective bargaining. I'm Rick Pluta.
A video shows a Detroit police vehicle accelerating through a crowd of protesters Sunday night. They surrounded the stopped vehicle and chanted before the SUV plowed forward into the crowd and then drove away. Detroit Mayor Mike Duggan says he hasn't seen the full report yet on the incident.
But if you're sitting in that police car and suddenly you're blocked, there is a large crowd around you, they're banging on the door, pulling at the door, climbing onto the car, what are you supposed to do?
Duggan was a guest on WDET's Detroit Today. As of yesterday, it's unclear how many people might have been injured or the extent of those injuries. Detroit Police Chief James Craig is expected to make a statement on the case sometime today. Hundreds of people peacefully protested at the Michigan State Capitol yesterday against police brutality. The protest was organized by Black Lives Matter Lansing. Angela Waters Austin is one of the co-founders of the group. Austin says they have four demands.
By the time this protest is over, you will have those four demands committed to memory to share with anyone and everyone that you meet. Top demand, defund the police.
Other demands include diverting police funding to black communities, the resignation of President Donald Trump, and the resignation of Lansing Mayor Andy Shore. Protesters have repeatedly asked for Shore to step down following several missteps in his handling of issues regarding the police. And there has been a lot of talk in communities, both locally and nationally, about police reform in light of several recent instances where African-American citizens were killed by white police officers. Lisa Berry shares what Ann Arbor's police chief thinks should be done, as he too was a police brutality victim while on the job.
Ann Arbor Police Chief Michael Cox, who is black, was beaten by white police officers from his own department while working undercover as a Boston police officer 25 years ago. Cox says he worked hard to overcome what happened to him, and now as Ann Arbor's current police chief, in light of recent racial incidents, believes once the country begins to heal, a conversation needs to happen.
With police, or at least certainly with people, professionals in this field, with input on how we can actually make it happen.
Chief Cox says many Ann Arbor police officers are upset by how they're being treated in the community and feel hated, even though they took a vow to protect and serve. And he adds now they believe they're being judged by the worst behavior in the country. I'm Lisa Berry.
What accommodations will be offered by Central Michigan University to faculty who are worried about exposing family members to COVID-19? That's a question that some members of the teaching unions have been asking the administration. Jason Kennedy is the chief steward of the Union of Teaching Faculty at CMU. He says that he has concerns about teaching in-person classes because his wife is diabetic, a condition that puts her at a higher risk from COVID-19. Kennedy says CMU is not offering university-wide guidance for families with at-risk members.
But those are being handled on a case-by-case basis by chairs and deans. And across all the colleges of the university, that's happening completely differently. And there doesn't appear to be any kind of standard message, or at least one that's not been communicated to the union, how those decisions are being made.
Kennedy says CMU seems to be responding quickly to faculty who are concerned about their own health, but there have been delays and uncertainty for faculty who are concerned about family members. A spokesperson for Central Michigan University did not immediately respond to our request for comment. Michigan is seeing an uptick in COVID-19 cases, and health officials say Newaygo and Oceana counties have seen some of the largest increases. In 1 week, there were 26 new cases in Newaygo County and 103 in Oceana. Health officials held a virtual press conference yesterday to discuss the cases. They say the outbreaks occurred at farms and factories, which are not open to the public. Robin Wanlicki is the clinical supervisor for District Health Department No. 10, which covers those counties. She says the employers have been working closely with the health department.
The human resources representatives at each location are working very closely with our public health nurse, and a lot of their practices from the CDC with screening for temperature and symptoms at the beginning of the shift, making sure that employees are wearing masks, and the distancing.
Wanlicki says the cases have been steady, but she says she can't make predictions about future outbreaks because of the uncertainty tied to the virus. A federal judge wants the CEOs of Fiat Chrysler and General Motors to meet this week to resolve a civil racketeering lawsuit. As Quinn Kleinfelter reports, the judge calls the suit a waste of time amid the current coronavirus pandemic.
General Motors filed a suit last year accusing Fiat Chrysler of conspiring with the United Auto Workers to get a favorable labor deal that put GM at a disadvantage. GM claims the deal cost it billions of dollars and notes that the U.S. Justice Department is examining Fiat Chrysler as part of an investigation into corruption among UAW officials.
That was Quinn Kleinfelter reporting. And that is your morning news roundup for Tuesday, June 30th, 2020. I'm Mike Horace. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk again tomorrow.